I want to say in defense of that game them girls played last night, I won $56 there. I guess most of you know I was kidding. It's more like 106. All right, if you got your Bible tonight, turn to, let me find something here. I'm going to try this, Exodus chapter 1, and see how it goes. This really ain't a sermon, but it's something that'll help you. You won't be jumping no pews or nothing during this, but I'm sure you'll jump some pews later in the week, man. Maybe somebody will preach something that'll make you want to jump a pew. This one won't make you jump one, I'll guarantee you. But it'll help you. And that's all we try to do. We hope we can come up here. None of us bring nothing. We don't bring revival. We don't bring nothing. We just come up and hope we say something or do something that might help somebody. And most of all, that might please the Lord. Exodus chapter 1, and I'll start in right there. My heart's kind of heavy tonight anyway. You get that call right before you preach, you know, most times when you get it. And we got a church member been with me 23 years, and she's around 52 years old, something like that, and waiting on a report today, and she got a bad one. And, unless God steps in and does something, she's in trouble. And so y'all pray for my associate pastor's sister, if you would. All right, Exodus chapter 1, and I'll start there in verse 20. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, dear God, you'd help us to preach. I pray you'd give us the words to say. Pray you'd give us the power to say it, Father. Lord God, I pray you'd not let us stand up here alone, Father. We have nothing to offer alone. We ask for your help, dear God, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Pray you might save souls here tonight, might change lives forever. It's in Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell you this, lighten it up a little bit, but you're going to have to do better than you did last night, because some of you were real slow in catching a joke last night. And I thought us hillbillies down in Arkansas was slow, but man, I'm telling you, some of you were slow. But we had an old couple in Arkansas that never ate Chinese food. Never had in their life ate Chinese food, so they went to eat it for the first time. And they didn't know nothing about it. They didn't know what they was ordering. They looked in there, and they gave them a menu, and they seen cashew chicken. Well, they knew they liked chicken, so they said, give us cashew chicken. They brought it to the table. Brother Barron, I'll tell it right in. They brought a black pot there and put them a plate down there, had a black pot in the middle of the table and full of cashew chicken. They started eating, and they took about two bites, and the lid on that pot raised up and went right back down. And she said, whoa. And she said, well, maybe it's supposed to. So they went right on eating and doing what they did. Then that lid raised up again and went right back down. They said, good. And they called the waiter and said, look, we can't handle no more of this. There's something in that pot. And he said, I'm so sorry. He said, what did you order? They said, we ordered cashew chicken. He said, oh, I'm so sorry. We accidentally gave you Peking duck. All right, y'all did better that time. All right, I'm going to tell the more complicated ones as we go along now. Exodus chapter 1, verse 22 in your Bible. It says this, and Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. How about that, Mama? Every child born, you cast into the river, if it's a male, and you save the girls. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. What a 3 months that must have been. They were searching every house and searching with the midwives to find these boys to kill them. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, boy, his sister was fast, wasn't she? Yeah, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of water. I want to preach about that for just a few minutes if I can, and I won't be very long. I want to hear Brother Mark. I hadn't got to hear him yet up here this time. And I'm looking forward to it. Brother Stocker did a good job last night, and I'm looking forward to hearing some of the other preachers preach. And I love going here and preaching. But this is one of the most powerful scenes, I think, in the Bible. If you're a mother here, it certainly is. A lot of you ladies, I see you got little bitty babies and things. You got babies on your hip or on your shoulder. It'll be a powerful scene to you. This will run a shiver up the spine of any mama in the building. If you're a mother, man, did you just hear what she did? She turned that kid loose in the river, just a little tiny baby, probably 3 months old. This was her baby. We hear about grandkids all the time, and man, I thought that'd be wonderful, but I didn't know. I knew it'd be good, but I didn't know until you see them. And then when you see them, it's all different. When they look in your eyes, and when they look up and they make contact with you in your eyes, it's all over. I mean, you are hooked for life. This woman had already taken this baby up, and he looked at her, and she looked at him, looked her in the eye. This was her baby, a helpless baby. And brother, sister, she goes down to the river and puts him in the current. When that current takes him away, she may never see him again. A river, that's a Nile River, but he's got the current. If that little basket tips one way or the other, that baby drowns. Gone. If the animals come up there, the coyotes come up there and get that baby and kill it, he's gone. If the crocodiles in the Nile come over and looking for breakfast, that baby's gone. And she places him down there in that spot. Looked to me like one of the most dangerous places in the world, but it wasn't as dangerous as back home. Yeah. So what'd she do, Brother Jim? She came to a place, and I don't think she meant to, and I don't think she even wanted to. I don't think she ever wanted to be at that place she was at. I think if she'd had her desire, she would have done something different. But she came to a place where she didn't have any choice. She came to a place where she had to totally rely on God. And if God didn't save her baby, he sunk. Right. If God didn't save that baby, it's gone. Yeah, you dads, you got them little boys, little girls. You know what I'm talking about. She came to a place where she had to rely on him. She came to a place where she couldn't work it out. Yeah. Men, us daddies, we try to work it out. Something happens, we try to figure it out or come up with the money or come up with something. We try to work it out and plan it out. She came to the place where she could not work it out any longer. All the other little boys were dead in town. Couldn't work it out. She had to trust God. She couldn't buy her way out. She couldn't figure her way out. She came to a spot where she had done all she could. And you know what she did? She got in there by night working and made a little basket. A little ark, made a little basket for that baby and pitched it with slime and mud and everything, knowing what she was going to do with it. Don't you know, Mama, when she walked by that room every day, don't you know, Bob, when she walked by that table there, that little basket was on, she was working on? Don't you know every time she walked by there, she knew what she was going to have to do with that basket? Yeah. One day soon, she's going to put the only little baby boy she had in the world, she's going to put him in there and say goodbye? Boy, you try that one on, Mama. Try that and on, Daddy. And then, brother and sister, she couldn't do anything else. And then the day came. The day came. She had to grab that little boy before daylight, where it's dark, and take him down to the river and turn him loose. I believe she took one more look. Don't you?
Yeah.
I believe before she put him in there, boy, I believe she picked him up and she looked at him one more time.
Yeah.
Them little fat, you know, little fat cheeks them kids got? I bet you she got one more sugar boy right there on that fat cheek. I don't think she turned him loose without it. I think it's a hard day. I think she wanted one more kiss. I think she got one more little hug, don't you? I think she hugged him and held on to him for a little while. And then, brother and sister, she placed him in the river. In the river. I don't know. I don't know when she put that thing in the river, how long she held on to it. If it's me, I couldn't turn it loose. My little grandbaby, I couldn't turn it loose. Not very well. Brother, sister, she put that in the water. Don't you know, Mama, it was hard to let go of? And she didn't let go of it. I think she held on to it for a while. But the time came where she finally had turned loose and trust God to keep him alive. I have a friend. I ain't going to say no names because these things do go out around now. But I have a friend who had a little boy, 3 or 4 months old, beautiful, perfect little boy. And that little baby went to sleep one night and quit breathing. I think they call it SIDS or something like that. But that little baby quit breathing, and he'd been out of air a long time before she found him. She rushed him down to the hospital, and they hooked him up on machines and was checking his brain waves and checking everything. And after 2 days, they said, nothing's going on. And I got to the hospital that day to see him, and they came in and told her, and they said, look, there's nothing going on there. We're keeping him alive with a machine. You're going to have to let him go. And they said, we can do it for you, unplug the machine, or you can have the privacy and unplug it yourself. It's where you want it. Boy, I walked out of the room. I don't know what she did. She stayed in there by herself, that little baby, when everybody else was gone. I don't know what she did. But, brother, there came a time she had to turn around and walk out of that room and leave that little baby behind. Finally, let it go, and she walked away. Moses' mama right here didn't know the outcome of this. She didn't know if that baby would live or die. She had no guarantees. She didn't know when she put him in there if she'd ever see him again. Didn't have no idea. He was in God's hand now. But I'll tell you this, if she hadn't let it go, if she hadn't let him go, there wouldn't have been nobody write the first 5 books of your Bible named Moses. Brother, if she hadn't let him go, that wouldn't have happened. And if she hadn't let him go, her boy was dead for sure. If she hadn't let him go and gave him to God, that baby would have been dead in a week. They wasn't going to live. None of them were going to live. If she hadn't let him go, he wouldn't have made it. There would have been no deliverer for Israel named Moses if she hadn't let him go. No plagues, no crossing of the Red Sea with Moses holding up the staff. Wouldn't have been none of that if she hadn't had faith in God to turn the basket loose and let him go. And she let him go. It can't be easy. It's got to be gut-wrenching. It's got to be heartbreaking. But there come a time, brother and sister, listen, there come a time when every person listening to me tonight, without exception, man, woman, boy, or girl, everybody in this building, without exception, will have to let go of the basket and trust God with something. I don't know what it is, but you're going to have to do it. You are going to have to give it to him. This week would be a good week. We're trying to have revival. It'd be a good week if you just turn loose, take your hands off of it, and trust God to fix it. Yeah. Going to have to do it. Take your hands off of it. I don't know what your situation is tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what it is all week that you've been praying about. I don't know for the past 3 months what's broke your heart and caused you to cry. I don't know what it is that you constantly go to the Lord with and ask him for help with. But maybe this week would be a good time for you to turn loose and let him have it. What's in your basket tonight? Something different for every one of you. What's in your basket that you have trouble turning over to the Lord? What's in there that you can't turn loose of? After you've done all you can, what do you do, Brother Jim, after you've done all you can? You're going to have to act like you have a God. And you're going to have to trust him to take care of you. What are you going to do? You're going to have to let go of the basket. God's will never be accomplished in your life as long as it's in your hands. You say, God, go with me. God, I want your will for my life. Hop in, Lord, we're going to go. And God says, I'll hop in, but who's going to drive? You say, well, I'll drive. God said, I don't want to go. Okay, Lord, here's the keys. You drive. All right, where are you going to sit? I'll sit in the front seat with you. I don't want to go. God don't want to go. If any time it's not going the way you want it to, you can grab the wheel and correct it. God wants it in his hands and out of your hands, or he don't want to go.
Amen.
He ain't going to ride like that. Going to Bible school is that way for us. I remember going off to Bible school in Dyersburg, Tennessee. There's a statue of a Confederate soldier. Y'all go ahead. That's all right, y'all. Anybody wants to come, you come. I ain't got a few things to say anyway. There's a statue of a Confederate soldier in Dyersburg, Tennessee. I'll have to look, see if it's still there when I get back. That's another story. It makes me fighting mad. But there's a story of a statue of a Confederate soldier, and every Christmas I used to stand on that statue of that Confederate soldier, and when the Christmas play and Santa Claus would come by, they'd throw candy to us kids, and we didn't get much candy. I ain't kidding. This ain't no poor mouthing. We didn't get much candy, and we sat there, and Santa Claus would throw us candy, and boy, we'd grab it up, man, we'd hog it up, and every Christmas we'd stand on that Confederate soldier and get that. We was going off to Bible school. We went on a Greyhound bus, didn't have a car when we got there, didn't have a job waiting on us when we got there. We had $300 to our name, and I remember when that bus was pulling out there, Brother Mark, I wouldn't change nothing. But I remember when that bus was pulling out there, I looked through that window as we turned that curve, and I seen that Confederate soldier on the square there, and then we was leaving everything we knew. We turned loose and let God have it. I wouldn't change it for $1 million. Let God have it. Going to Arkansas was that way. When we built our camp, it was that way. They said, we can't do that. I said, we probably can't. But God wants us to try, and we're going to have to let him do it. And we turn loose and let God have his way.
Amen.
We build it. You say, what about me, Brother Jim? I don't know what about you, but I expect you're like my church. I expect there's some of you right here just like in my church. You've been out knee-deep in the river for the last 10 years. I mean, cattails have grown up, matured, and died out. Seasons come and seasons go. And you're still standing in the river holding on to the ark. You've never turned the basket loose and let God have it. Still knee-deep in the water, and you still won't let God have his way. Why don't you turn loose and let him have it, see what he'd do with it? If you're like my church, some of my people are in that shape, and you're still holding a basket. Oh, knee-deep in the water, you're in the right place, but you never turn loose. God's will's never going to be accomplished, boys, girls, mom, dad, never going to be accomplished in your life if you don't learn to turn loose and let God have it. I want to say three quick things about that, and I'll be through and let Brother Mark preach. I want to say, brother and sister, she was facing a terrible problem. That baby's dead if something don't happen. Terrible problem. You say, Brother Jim, you don't know what I'm facing tonight. I don't, but I know where the answer is. The question changes time to time, but Jesus is always the answer. She couldn't see a way out in a terrible spot. She searched and had no answers. Brother Jim, if you fill in the blank. Brother Jim, if God don't do something soon, we are going to lose blank, blank, blank. You fill in the blank. What is it you're praying about? If God don't do something soon, we're in trouble. I've seen him. If God don't do something soon, I may lose my home. I've seen it when God didn't do something, brother and sister, because they didn't allow him to, and they lost their marriage. I've seen some of them lose their life. I've seen some of them lose their church. Dyersburg, Tennessee, boy, somebody made a mess of things, and they lost a church over it for a while. You may lose your health. Some of you here tonight, you may lose your soul. You're not saved. You know you're not saved, but there's something. Maybe it's tradition. Maybe it's your religion. Maybe it's something you've been hanging on to, and you haven't been able to turn loose of it yet. Until you turn loose, God won't save you. Some of you may lose your soul if God don't do something. Brother Jim, we might lose our marriage. We might lose our home. We might lose a teenager. You fill in the blank. She was facing a terrible problem. If things are not fixed, I may lose my walk with God, Brother Jim. Brother Jim, if something's not fixed tonight, I may lose my joy. I may lose that closeness that me and the Lord used to have. Amen. If something don't happen soon. Brother Jim, I may lose his touch. I wouldn't be his presence. I wouldn't be interested in going on down the road without that. I'm not interested in this life without the Lord's touch and without his presence. Samson lost his presence. Didn't even know he lost it. Bible said he wist not that the Spirit departed from him. You know what he was doing? He still getting up singing in the choir and still thought he had it. Amen. He was still getting up doing the old thing, still thought he had it. Well. He was going out on visitation, still thought he had it. He was preaching sermons, still thought he had it. Brother Jim, we're facing, me and my family, me and my wife, me and my husband, we're facing a terrible thing. And if something don't happen soon, we're going to lose blank. Well, I've seen them lose children. I've seen them lose marriages. I've seen them lose home. I'm worried, Brother Jim. Well, let me ask you this. Have you done all you could? She had done all she could. Have you done all you could? I mean, brother, sister, have you worked? Have you done everything you know to do to fix it? Have you tried your best? Have you put some time in it? Say, yeah, I did, Brother Jim. Let me ask, have you searched the scriptures? I get people in my office all the time with terrible problems. First thing I ask them every time, the first thing out of my mouth, are you reading your Bible like you ought to? And the answer is the same every time. You know what the answer is every time? You know what it is. You know what it is? It's, well, not like I should. Every time. Well, not like I should, preacher. I'll interpret that for you. Almost never. When I feel like it. You say, Brother Jim, I got a big problem. Well, are you doing your part? Have you done your part? Most of the time, the Lord don't fix something you can anyway. But if you worked and you can't fix it, if you said you're sorry to somebody and that don't fix it, by the way, that's not my wife's vocabulary. My wife, she's been wrong. I know she's been wrong. She's never said it. Some of you can't say that either, can you? I'm sorry, I was wrong. Ask forgiveness. You say, I've done all that, Brother Jim. After all that, still no answer? Then I'd say it's probably time you turn loose. It's probably time then you get yourself out of that situation, turn it loose and let God have it and see what God will do with it. We had a factory over in Dyersburg, Tennessee, Dyersburg Fabrics, and it's not there anymore, but I used to work there, and they had a big knitter machine they called a knitter, and it run this big material through there, and it would change that material, and it would put a nap on that material, a fuzzy nap on it, and they'd run it through and make clothes out of it and stuff. And the supervisor told that guy, he said, I'm hiring you to run this machine. But he said, if this machine ever hangs up right here, he said, you shut it down immediately and you call the foreman. And he'll come down here. He knows what to do to fix it. He said, if you don't call him and it gets hung up, he said, that thing will bust that machine in a million pieces right here in the floor. He said, you shut it down and call the foreman. He said, okay. He ran that thing for about a week. And one day, boy, you just got a little bit of cotton balled up there in the corner. He got a stick, said, I can get that out. He said, I started trying to rake that out, and that thing ran all the way to the other side of that machine. Before you know it, it backed up. That machine went in 1,000 pieces. Shut the whole factory down. Supervisor came down and said, what did you do? He said, I did the best I could. He said, what did you do? He said, I tried my best. I did everything I knew to do. He said, I've done my best. He said, no, the best thing you could have done was call the foreman. He said, that's what I ask you to do. Call the foreman. You say, Brother Jim, we can't work this out. Well, maybe it's time you call the foreman. Yeah. Well, we've done our best. We've done all we know to do. No, you ain't done your best till you call the foreman. Yeah. He'll fix it if nobody else can. Have you done your part? Then maybe you need to give it to him. Sometimes you have to lose control. Sometimes when you can't see the outcome. Sometimes when it's out of your hands, you're going to have to blindly trust Jesus Christ. Amen. Call the foreman. Amen. Well, just call the foreman. Leave it alone and call the foreman. I'll say this last and I'll quit. There's a reward for doing it right. There's a reward for turning it loose. Do you see that down there? Verse 9, she got paid to raise her own kid. Yeah. What a deal. These are good kids around here, but I've seen a couple. You couldn't pay me enough to raise. She got paid to raise her own kid. Brother said, there's a reward for turning loose. I'm in Arkansas today and love my life. I love my family. I love my church. I love these guys that came with me. They're my friends. All because one day me and my wife turned loose and let God have it. scared. There's peace in knowing it's in his hands. God still rewards people tonight for turning loose. Still trying to work it out, ain't you? Won't you come to the altar tonight and just turn it loose? Say, God, you take it. God, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. Well, why in the world? What in the world are you holding on to? Won't you turn loose tonight and let God do it? You turn loose tonight and ask God to save you. He'll save you. God rewards here and hereafter. I pray for my grandkids. Every night I pray, I say, God, give them a good life in thee. Amen. I know what they're facing. I say, God, give them a good life on this earth in thee. Amen. Only in him. That's the only way I want it, is in him.
Amen.
I want to have a good life in God. I came out of my house the other day. My kids live about 100 yards behind my house. We got a little 10-acre farm. They live on the back side of it. And there's a pasture between us. They got them a little campground. I made them there where they camp out, a big fire thing where they cook out between our house and theirs. I walked out to feed the dogs, and I heard mountain music coming up the hill. All my grandkids play mountain music. Banjo, fiddle, mandolin, all this stuff, guitar. And, man, I heard mountain music coming up through there. Boy, I'll fly away or something like that. Man, I'm telling you, ringing off the hill. And God stopped me, and God said, that's a pretty good life, ain't it, son? Woo! I said, yeah, there's a reward for turning loose.
Amen.
God will bless you if you turn loose. Look how he's blessed Brother Allen for turning loose, for Miss Linda for turning loose.
Amen.
Bless this church. Now, listen tonight. I don't know what's in your basket tonight, but I'm glad I let it go. Your basket tonight might be a teenage child. Might be. You might have to turn loose and let God have them. All that I can't. Listen, the prodigal son would have never made it home in our day and time.
Right.
He would have never made it home. He bottomed out one day and came to himself and said, I need the Father. In our day and time, some fool would have gave him a bologna sandwich and a hot shower at the mission and a bed.
Yeah.
He would have never made it home. He would have never made it home. Mom and daddy, if you don't let them bottom out, they may never come back to Christ. As long as you prop them up, as long as you're sending them money and food, they'll never get right with God.
Amen.
You are going to have to turn loose and let God have them.
Amen.
They'll never make it any other. I got arrested down there, and they took me down to jail, and they called me. They said, Mr. Chandler, your son's only 17. We'll let him go if you'll come get him. He said, no, I ain't coming get it. He got down there by himself. He can get out by himself. Learn me something that night. I learned daddy wasn't going to bail me out. What's in your basket tonight? Is it a child? Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a husband and wife that ain't doing right. I don't know what's in your basket. Maybe it's financial tonight. For some of you, maybe it's your health. Let me ask you this. Did you do your best? Have you done your best? You say, I think so. Well, the best you can do is call the foreman. But if you've done your best, why don't you turn loose and let him have it? If you've tried all you can. You just need to turn loose. I didn't say give up. I didn't say quit loving anybody. I just said turn loose and let God have them, because you do love them, brother and sister. Some of you may need to join a good church. I don't know. Maybe something's been holding you back. Maybe you need to turn loose tonight. This is a good one. If I lived anywhere close to here, this is where I'd be in church. Somebody here may need to be saved. Won't you turn loose tonight and come and let Brother Allen or one of these ladies or men show you how to be saved? You know you need it. You're going to hell. Well, Brother Jim, I just can't turn loose my religion. Boy, you better let it go. Religion won't save you. Jesus will. You're still holding on to something. Maybe it's time you turn loose. I had a friend in Tennessee, Brian Lay. I went to see him. He's lost. And I said, I told him all about it. You know him, don't you, D.D.? I told him all about it. And he said, you're right. You're right. I said, well, then don't you want to be saved? He said, no. I said, don't you know you're going to hell? He said, I know. I said, well, don't you have any desire to be saved? He said, nope. I turned around, walked out of the house. I got to the door. He said, hey, Jim. I said, yes, sir. He said, if you got here a couple, 3 years earlier, he said, I might have. But he said, now it don't even bother me no more. Boy, you better turn loose while you can. If you can come tonight, you better come. Christian, lost, if you can come tonight, you better come. God spoke in your heart, you come.